This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
Let's go to Dino in the Bronx.
Good morning, guys.
Yeah, we miss you, Rick. I don't know where you've been at, man.
I would have much rather do the show than do what I had to do. I'd fly, take the tram last night at 11 o'clock. It was too much. Why do we cut the callers off?
You guys were having a whole separate conversation and leaving him there.
Okay, must be done with Dino.
Can you let the guy get his point before you...
Listen, he's going to stay there as long as you want him to. I will not hang up.
When I say, Dino, thanks for the call, goodbye, you then hang up on him.
This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
Dino, thank you for the call. We'll talk to you very soon. Now would be the time, Raymond, that you... Now he's not going to hang up on him. Big baby.
On 98.7 ESPN.
No. You see what we have to deal with? Petulant babies here on DPHRO and Rothenberg, and as always presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests show up on the Goodyear hotline. I mean, how this is like a difficult process for Santiago. When we say thank you for the call, goodbye, then you hang up.
Enjoy it while you can, though. I mean, he's got the music coming in. He's got, I mean, this.
He really is invested in the show.
Because we're a couple weeks away from him getting zero sleep.
Once the Rangers start and the Knicks start and this guy's, you know, sleeping on the couch
28
in
days.
The studio. 28 days. Why don't you stop doing it?
Because it's fun and it pays well.
And he likes money.
I get it, but literally, people don't understand. He doesn't sleep for like 6 months.
I don't get that nice Dave Rothenberg money, but it's, I do need to survive. I need to eat.
God forbid he does a little work to get paid.
And welcome aboard.
I mean, listen, you know what I have going on? And don't deflect here. Don't turn this on me. Santiago is overworked between October and May.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about playoffs. That's not happening.
Ouch.
I mean, for the Rangers.
Well, why won't it happen?
I just don't feel great about it.
Well, you are the hockey expert. Did anybody ask you at the big hockey meeting? Did anybody ask you why I wasn't at the hockey meeting?
There was some concern, yeah. They said, I thought your coach, should he be here? I said, why? They said, well, he's got that very, very popular Fakakta hockey show he does. I was like, yeah, that's a good point.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, but I'm telling you, people asked about you, which is a good sign. They want to know how Dave Rothenberg is.
The main powers that be didn't ask.
Now, Norby was like, Dave who?
I
was like,
no, Norby knows who I am.
My co-host. He's like, oh, yeah.
Did you talk with Norby? Was there good Norby conversation?
No, it was so much going on, man. We legitimately had a couple breaks were there for like 5 or 6 minutes. And then because everyone was leaving that night. So we, in and out. They took the lunch away. I didn't even get to eat lunch.
Why would they do that? You know what? It's like Santiago, what he does with the calls. Why would they take the lunch away prematurely? Why would he hang up on the callers prematurely?
Listen, I can't answer those questions. I went up, and little did I know that we weren't getting extended checkout, so I went up to go in my room to get my stuff because I had to take the headshots, and then my key didn't work. So like an idiot, I go down. I don't have my ID, so I got to go back up. By the time I get all that stuff together, take the pictures, and go back in, everything's gone.
Wait, what do you mean all the food? Now, what was the spread? Tell me they had a great spread that you missed out on.
Yeah, they had an amazing spread.
Oh.
Full table.
Give me a little cookie. What, you want a cookie?
Yeah, gone. All of it. Gone.
Really? Did they have chocolate chip cookies?
They had cookies. They had all sorts of desserts. Yeah.
Parfait.
They did have it. For breakfast, they had a parfait. Nice parfait.
I love the parfait. Apple, hammer, saw. Maybe pear, maybe not. I'm not sure.
There's this place in Tampa that Cassie takes me called Grain and Berry that makes an unbelievable... You get to pick the bottom. You can go yogurt. You can go acai, pitaya, whatever you want. But it comes with the granola. And then you can have, you know, bananas, strawberries, kiwi.
Boy, our listeners are really eating this right up, huh?
They throw some honey on it. Oh, it's terrific.
Sounds really
wonderful.
You
say you like the parfait.
I do like the parfait. I need to know the best place in Florida for it.
Oh, it's just a good place. Now that I'm hung, I'm thinking about it. I haven't eaten.
I'll tell you
hungry.
What. Next time I'm in Florida, you tell me about the parfait capital, and I will go there.
Of course I will.
All right.
It's one of my favorite things to do, recommendations. How much do you think it cost me to get from O'Hare to the city in Uber?
O'Hare into Chicago. O'Hare is not close.
Especially
I would
two
say
hours
it was
traffic.
$73.
RJ, care to guess? O'Hare to downtown Chicago.
That's a long ride. Ubers are crazy right now. That's how I can tell how wealthy Dave is. He probably takes a helicopter. Hasn't taken one in a while. 73 is way too low. I'm going to say 154.
No way.
54.
No way. No
Raimondo chance. Santiago.
But I might be under, but there's no way he's right with 154.
I don't feel bad at all because I was going to say that it would be in the 90s, so I was going to say 92, but RJ's
so
making
92.
Me rethinking.
RJ, unfortunately, you're just over a little bit. Santiago, you win. It was $134.
Wow. You know what? RJ with a pretty good guess, though. 134.
134. Awesome driver, though. Awesome Polish.
Well, for 134, I would hope so.
The bottled water's nice. Some leg
room. Oh, really? He gave you a bottle of water.
Yeah, she had the bottle of water set up. I actually had a very high, like, unlike Canty's Uber rating, which was like a 0.0. It was like Blutarski kind of rating. She was highly recommended. I think she had a 4.95 rating.
Nice.
I hope so. For $134, you should.
That's a lot of money. What does he care? It's not like he's paying for it.
Was this a regular Uber? Or did you take one of the black cars type?
No, just a regular. It was just the buy yourself Uber.
Now let me ask you this, because this has to be accurate. This is going to be paid for by the company. There's zero chance, guys, that Rick can fill out his own paperwork.
No. I'll have to pay for it. I don't know how to do the reimbursements.
Wait. You get reimbursed by the company for company expenditures.
Well, you have to show me how to do it. I have no idea. I was going to say you'd
wait. So you would eat all that money? How about this? Someone shows you how to do it and gets 20% of the money sent to them.
I already have somebody that does that, and she gets like 75% of the money.
Why would you allow that? And then you had to take an Uber back.
No, I didn't. I told you they had us a bus.
Oh.
Jumped on the bus.
So 134, but I mean, with that all in, I mean, you're not going to just eat that money.
Well, no, I didn't even think about that because I was just proud. Like when I went on the app, it was like, your credit card has expired. I was like, oh, damn, I don't know how to do this. And then I somehow figured it out.
Look at you.
To do it.
Look at you. All right. College football's back. Goodyear knows the passion it takes to drive every game forward, whether your team's home or away. The traditions that bring us together are still the same. That's the road that moves us. Goodyear, more driven. Are you ready for... I don't think it's that hot of a take, but Santiago was so turned off by it, I thought we could discuss it a little bit right now. You ready?
Listen, you with hot takes, you know I love those. Like
I don't think... Knicks, honestly, I don't think it's that hot of a take, but Santiago, he didn't agree with me. So I wanted to throw it your way to see what you said.
This isn't like the Knicks are fun to watch take, is it?
The Knicks are great. I love watching this team. I don't understand how they have every embarrassing drop that I've ever said right on the ready.
Oh, that's a sneaky good one, too.
All right. It is this. This is, and I don't think this is a hot take, so don't come back and be like, I can't believe he said that. This is an elimination game. Washington and the Giants.
It's a terrible
take. The loser of this game is done.
It's a terrible take.
It's not a terrible take.
It's an awful take.
It's a dead-on accurate take.
It's one of your worst takes I've
ever
heard.
It's a great take. You know what? I'm not going to sit here and let you belittle and bemoan on my take. It's a great take. If the Giants can't beat Taylor Heinicke and Washington in Washington on Thursday night, so then they come home to Atlanta, and then it's at New Orleans, at Dallas, home to the Rams. Find me the win in those three. If they lose this game, their season is done. Done. And the same with Washington, who goes to Buffalo week three.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. I mean, how good do you think these other teams in your division are, though?
I mean, that's better than that.
It's not, well, yeah, but it's not. This isn't the NFC West. I mean, this is... like, you still don't know about Dallas's defense.
Right.
Collins is suspended. You know what I mean? That offensive line hasn't stayed healthy.
There's going to be a team that wins 9 games this year in the division.
Okay, but I said this before. I mean, Saquon Barkley, it's a disturbing comment. I was under the impression that maybe he wouldn't start in week one. And he may as well not even have played in week one the way they used him. I mean, he was a non-factor in the game, right? But now, because he played in that game, like, he's not even sure how he's going to feel tomorrow in a division game. Right? Like, I mean, you're not wrong. This team hasn't been above 500 since 2017.
2017! I mean, RJ's giggling about it earlier on the show. They haven't been above 500 in 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's a mess. It's a mess. And what's crazy, though, too, to think about is... so I'm sitting on the plane last night, getting ready to take off. And for some reason, I don't know if it was just, prep for the show or whatever. Oh, I'll tell you why. It was because I was listening to to the K-Show podcast and the Dan Orlovsky take. We'll play that next segment with Daniel Jones. So I started to think to myself, like, I went back with the Giants drafts and, like, how one bad decision can set off a chain reaction of more bad decisions that put you where you're at. Like, could you imagine, like, and we were saying this at the time. I remember like it was yesterday. We were saying it. We were screaming it. And everyone was like, oh, Saquon Barkley's...
Oh, stop with the way back music, for God's sakes.
No, but remember those conversations. Like, what are you going to do with the second overall pick? Well, if you don't love a quarterback, then you got to trade back. It's like the Colts did. And then you look at what the Colts did in that deal. The pieces they added in that deal. The focal point being Quentin Nelson. And you've been struggling with your offensive line. So they, okay, now all of a sudden I address Quentin Nelson. Quentin Nelson, right? And now moving forward where you're deciding, you know, what are we going to do here? Well, I mean, I could use edge pass rush, right? Well, Josh Allen's just sitting there right for you to take. I could take Josh Allen. And then all of a sudden you stink again. And now because you didn't take Daniel Jones, you can take Justin Herbert with the fourth overall pick.
Yep. Yeah. No,
it's like that one decision.
Think about this.
Trickle down effect.
Think about not trinkle, trickle.
No, I said trickle.
I heard trinkle. But think about this for a second. Second pick, offense, Barkley. Fourth pick, Thomas. Sixth pick, Jones. 20th pick, Tony. So the last 4 years, you've gone offense.
Time out. Don't forget Evan Engram, too.
No. Okay. That's
add
fine.
That one.
But so offense. And the offense is not functional. And
it's
all
bad.
You've done is try to make it functional. It's an embarrassment.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I looked through the reads to make sure that RJ didn't sabotage me again today, and in fact, he did not.
See, I mean, it happens once in a while, occasionally. You're talking about a dude that's up at 2 a.m. every single morning.
Right.
And he sends you the stuff super early so you can look over it.
That's not that early.
It's pretty early.
No, I don't get it pre-show.
What do you mean you don't get it pre-show?
RJ, do I get my reads pre-show?
No, in the 5 a.m. hour.
No.
I don't feel like that's on RJ, though.
You'd be right.
And that's fine. But here's the thing. You get your four reads the night before, and you study them like they're the Mona Lisa. I get my reads during the show, and yet you beat me up over it.
I mean,
we
can only script so many plays here. We script the first 10 for you, and then you got to go out there and play.
Can we stop pretending that you would go over the script like the Mona Lisa the night before? We both know that's not true.
I would study it like it was the Sistine Chapel. All right. Well, that being said, I have the read in front of me. It's factually correct. Let me perform it right now. Here's your shot to qualify for the Week 2 Pigskin Payout. It's your chance to play in the 98.7 Sportsbook. Welcome into the Sportsbook. And win $250 or up to $1,000 for correctly picking the Big Blue and Washington football team game. Be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN to qualify. We'll be selecting our winner tomorrow, so keep it locked in for your pigskin payout. So if you take the Giants plus the 3 now, you win $250. If you take the Giants to win outright, you win $1,000. I mean, come on. Is this even a debate of what you're going to take?
No, I don't even think it's a debate. I absolutely hate where you're at mentally right now.
What do you mean? I'm in a great mental spot.
No, you're phenomenal. Fine today. You're fine today. I mean, Friday could be a whole different
No, I'm just at the point where I'm just going to become incensed. I'm just going to become angry. And you know where my anger lies? You know, like every time I tell you Familia or I see Jared Kelnick hits a home run or somebody like Edwin Diaz gets himself first and third, one out continuously over and over and over. And I get angry at Brody Van Wagenen. That's what is starting to happen with Dave Gettleman. I mean, when you look at the moves that this guy has made, it is mind-boggling. I mean, Andrew Thomas and Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley and Kadarius Toney. And I'm not saying Toney's not going to be good, but it's just like your offense should be functioning at a much higher level than it is right now.
Yeah, but at a certain point, though, Dave, I mean, I get it. I mean, you're quick to blame Dave Gettleman, and I don't think you're 100% wrong. But, I mean, can every single one of these picks be bad? Like, at a certain point, like, isn't it up to the coaching staff to coach them up or scheme it up?
I mean, Josh Rosen wasn't good, right? I don't know. Is Daniel Jones just very mediocre? Is that what he is? It's possible, no?
No, listen, we got to find that out. I mean, is the offense at 100% yet? No, it's not. I mean, am I super impressed with Jason Garrett's play calling?
I don't know how you could be.
No, I'm not. I mean, when you watch these teams that have, you know, these dynamic offenses, there's nothing about the Giants' offense that screams dynamic.
Which is a shame, because they have a dynamic player on that offense.
He's supposed to be dynamic. He's supposed to be. You're supposed to have a couple dynamic players on that offense. You added Galladay, who's supposed to be dynamic. Evan Ingram, if he could hold on to a football.
And stay healthy.
And stay healthy talent-wise, he should be dynamic. I don't know, man. I'm just not. It's too early for me to just all of a sudden throw in the towel.
All right, listen, I will watch, I will root, I hope I'm wrong. If the Giants lose this game, let's get to the callers on at 800-919-3776. But just, can you quickly do an exercise with me?
If you're talking about the exercise that I'm already doing, going through the schedule,
if the Giants lose on Thursday,
yeah,
right, they're 0-2.
To you. It's going to be another, it'll be another year where they're not sniffing 500.
So then you agree with me?
Well, I don't want to be so quick to judge this team, because I think week one was a poor performance. I think defensively weren't good.
But you don't have the luxury of time. Just do this quickly with me. If the Giants lose Thursday and go to 0-2.
Okay, that's 0-2.
Okay. For argument's sake, they beat the Falcons, right?
1-2.
Okay. Are they winning in New Orleans?
1-3.
Are they winning in Dallas?
1-4.
Are they beating the Rams at home?
1-5.
Okay. And now you're done.
Then you're 2-5, 2-6.
Yep.
3-6, 3-7.
Yep.
4-7. You could beat the Dolphins. I'll give them that one. 5-7.
Come on. I don't know how you look at the Dolphins and say you're going to win that game.
Well, but at a certain point, though, Dave, the defense, I mean, it has to be better, doesn't it?
Sure. But Dolphins, Chargers, Cowboys, Eagles, these are all difficult games.
Now, playing the Cowboys at home, I mean, maybe my expectations for this Giants team were too high going into the season.
Maybe.
Because I thought the defense would be better. You added Adoree Jackson to the secondary. Which
Bradbury was terrible, by the way.
Well, defensively, they just weren't that good. But that's because they weren't on the field for too long.
Listen, it's a one game write off. Fine. It was awful. You're disappointed. It's one game. Respond on Thursday. Find a way on Thursday to get the win. And all of my negativity will be gone on Friday morning. Why do you blame me for this? How about blaming them for this?
Well, no, I'll blame them. But it's just me and you now, bud. Like, I can't afford to lose you in week two.
Listen, you're going to still get the you know, sarcastic, sardonic, witty repartee that we always have. I'm just going to be disgusted with the Giants. It happens. Let's go to some of the calls. Let's go to Peter in Brooklyn. Good morning, Peter. You're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. Dave, I just had to give you a call, and I had to agree with you on that hot take. Washington and the Giants. If the Giants don't win this game, the season is over. Gettleman's got to go. He has promised time and again that he's going to fix this O-line, and they cannot block for anything. The pass blocking has maybe improved a little bit, but their run blocking is still terrible. And the defense is blowing coverages. It's just it's crazy. They're just not a good football.
Yeah, so, but here's my question, though. At what point? I mean, I watch every minute of all these games, every single game. Watch every minute of it. You watch Carolina, for example, right? Dave, you watched all that game because they played the Jets.
Of course.
Is their offensive line that much better than the Giants?
When
I watch how they use Christian McCaffrey, it's like a different sport compared to Saquon Barkley.
Yeah. First of all, I think Barkley's not healthy right now. They didn't use him a lot. Like, do you understand that Christian McCaffrey had 30 touches in that game?
Yeah, last time I checked, though, too, Christian McCaffrey, I mean, it's a completely different injury. But it was, like, he missed most of the season last year. And he came out in week one, and he completely dominated that entire game.
He was phenomenal. But to answer your question, do I think Carolina's offensive line is better? I think they probably are better. I think the Giants' offensive line, Rick, is really bad. Nate Solder at right tackle is really, really bad.
No, he was bad. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like he wasn't bad. I mean, he looked overwhelmed. He looked unathletic. He looked overwhelmed. I mean, at a certain point, it was like how have the Giants been over the last couple of years? It was Matt Pert not getting off the ball. Like, he didn't get off the ball. He just didn't get off the ball.
And that's the guy that you wanted to be your starter this year, and he was so bad you couldn't even start him. Like,
yeah, I just don't know.
He's been so bad that Nate Solder, who looked like football is past him, got the start.
No, football, yeah. I mean, athletically, it looked like, you know, you're not wrong. But, I mean, it's just like, I don't know. Like, Saquon is, he's dynamic, and we saw that in year one. I just don't know with how he runs the football and how they're using him if it's the kind of recipe you're going to need. Because he's going to need to carry this offense. Like, he's supposed to be the most dynamic player on this offense.
Well, you know what? Let's see it then. DPHO Rothenberg presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's go to Randy in Brooklyn. Randy, you're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. There are two things that, you know, make sense to me. One is parity within the division. And the fact that there is no clear-cut team that's better than any other.
Dallas is.
Go ahead.
Dallas is right now. I mean, you saw Dallas's offense. I mean, Dallas's offense is...
They are, but, you know, look at it this way. You have divisional games. Divisional games have ways of producing unexpected results.
Yep.
You know, and if you look at it either way, that could be four unexpected wins for the Giants. Now, they're not that great a team, and, you know, they have their faults, but it's not like they're the 79 Bucks. You know what I mean?
No, yeah, they're not the 76 Buccaneers, but they're not a good football team.
But Dave, I get it. Listen, I understand it. I'm a Jets fan. But that's the amazing part, though, is he sits there and he makes great points. Like, it makes, like, Daniel Jones, for all the negative things you want to say about Daniel Jones, for some reason against the Washington football team, it's, I mean, he doesn't lose, right? Like, he those divisional games.
He has not yet.
Yeah, he's right. Like, divisional games, like when I played, you could be the worst team in the league, but all of a sudden you play the Rangers and, you know, crazy things happen just because you're so amped up to play that game. So I get what he's saying. But to sit here and listen to him talk about how the Giants are no good and the offense stinks, and then to think about the amount of money and high draft picks you've spent on that side of the ball, it's amazing to me.
It's pathetic is what it is.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Did you have more fun yesterday at the hockey gathering or doing your show today?
No, I miss you.
Yeah?
It's funny. I mean, we've been working together so long now that it's like, I guess I'm almost like a listener, right? Like, it's so much part of my routine that I miss not doing it. I just miss your face, and I miss laughing for 3 hours.
Yeah,
that's really what
we do have a lot of laughs, a lot of hijinks. I tell you what, you're not going to have laughs on Friday if the Giants lose, though.
No, and I'm petrified for that. I'll say this, too, before you play the Dan Orlovsky cut, though, is, and I get why you're frustrated with Gettleman, but I think it becomes even more of a problem if Daniel Jones can't elevate the talent around him. You know what I mean?
It's like, a huge problem. But again, Rick, it's Jones's fault. But Jones, it was the sixth pick. Like, you expect the sixth pick to be able to do that. Gettleman's the one that took him six. The expectation was he was going to be a middle or late first round guy. But no, he didn't want someone to swoop in and take him. He fell in love with this guy. He reminded him of Eli Manning. He had to have him. You took him six. I expect him to be really good.
Yeah, but that's fine, though. But again, it puts such an emphasis on the GM and the coaching staff. Coaching guys up, schemes, drafting the right players. Like, you may be in a spot where, I mean, Daniel Jones could just be that guy that needs things around him to be pretty close to perfect. Like,
you're not afforded that luxury. When you're the sixth overall pick at quarterback, the expectation is you're going to raise the level. And it's not his fault. I mean, if he's not capable, he's not capable. But it's someone's fault.
Yeah, well, it's Gettleman's fault. I mean, clearly it's Gettleman's fault, right? But I mean, it is, like, that's why I asked you the question, like, about Carolina's offensive line. Like, at a certain point, is it Carolina's offensive line is better, but Christian McCaffrey is so good, he makes the offensive line look decent.
Yeah, I think he's better too. I think their offensive line is better. And let's be fair, McCaffrey's a better running back right now than Saquon Barkley.
Okay, so I mean, that really is the crux of the issue, is that when you're the sixth overall pick, regardless of whose fault it is, the expectation is that you can elevate the talent or lack of talent around you and make up for that.
Well,
and we haven't seen that from Daniel Jones.
He's got 16 games to prove to us that, in fact, he can do that. And a guy that is not high on Daniel Jones, Dan Orlovsky, was on the K-Show yesterday discussing the sixth overall pick.
I've been pretty outspoken since the moment they took Daniel Jones that I just did not expect at the sixth pick that the Giants were getting a player that was going to be somebody who's an eraser. You know, when I'm taking a quarterback that early, he's got to erase some of the other flaws in my football team. And you've got to have some trait that can do that. And Daniel Jones doesn't have any of those traits. Could Daniel Jones be a good starting quarterback when he's going to get really good protection, really good scheme, and have some solid skill position players on him? Yeah, he's going to be a good, solid starting quarterback, a very Kirk Cousins type of guy. But when you take him at six, whether it's not his fault, but fair or not, the expectation is you're going to elevate and you're going to be the guy who can go get his own shots. And Daniel Jones just isn't capable of that.
Well, I don't know why the dog started barking.
Yeah, I
but...
understand this, though. I mean, people drive me crazy, man. You got a job. Like, you're asked, like, you're doing a call-in. Like, put yourself in a spot with a landline where you can... you can focus on what you're doing.
And not have the dog
you're on afternoon
you.
Drive. You're on the Michael Kay Show. Have some respect, please.
Wow. So you think it's a lack of respect
it's a lack
for
of respect. Like the people that fall, I mean, you get like the call where the line stinks, it's a cell phone, or like they're doing dishes or walking the... come on, man. It's a 7 minute spot.
Now, hang on a moment here. RJ's telling me he think that might have been Peter's dog.
I didn't sound like a bear bark to me.
No? You have the bark down to that level?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the dog barks almost. Let me hear it now. Can we isolate Orlovsky's bark?
See, that's Bear. That's Peter's
that's Bear.
Dog. That's Butter. That's Michael's dog. I'll get you Orlovsky's dog in a second.
So we have Butter, Bear, and what's Orlovsky's dog's name?
The Killer Bees.
You're right? Like the old dolphins. As we look for the barking audio, guests on DPHO Rothenberg appear via the Goodyear hotline.
Dave, let me ask you a question, though.
Yeah.
So listen to what he said, right? Now, Kirk Cousins. Now, I'm going to say something. It's going to offend you. And I don't mean to offend you.
I like you too much for you to, because this is going to anger me.
No, I know what's going to anger you. Listen, I love the guy. I think he's a Hall of Famer. Because for me, how you perform in the biggest moments is what's most important, right? That's where you create your legacy, is in the playoffs. It's winning championships. And the runs that Eli Manning made to those championships, I give him full credit for. He raised his level. But as far as regular season quarterbacks, I don't know how much better Eli Manning is than Kirk Cousins regular season-wise.
In my mind, and you're going to say it's biased, it's not even a close competition.
Just isn't capable of that.
I don't know if that was Bear. That was more of a howl.
Let me hear it again, Santi.
Just isn't capable of that.
That's like a howl.
Just isn't capable of that.
Yeah, I don't know. That sounds different to me.
Well, let's find out. I mean, why don't you? You're best friends with Michael. Why don't you text him and see what dog that was yesterday on the show?
I'll text him right now. I don't even know if he's out. Who did the Yankees game last night?
I'm not saying he's going to give us the answer right now. But
I'll
we
text
can get
him right
it
now. So,
tomorrow.
Okay, so here's my point, though. Is what I'm saying, right? Is Orlovsky goes on to say that if you surround him with some talented pieces offensively, which I mean, we all agree that they've done. Right, and you scheme him up, he can have success.
But isn't that any decent quarterback?
Yeah, but I think his point is that like with the elite quarterbacks of the world, you don't necessarily spend all the time talking about deficiencies because they make up for those deficiencies.
Correct.
Right? But here's my question to you, though, is we can all agree that, you know, Galladay, you drafted Tony, you got Sterling Shepard who looked great in week one. Eventually, Saquon Barkley will be back and healthy. Ingram, same thing. It's like, on paper, it looks like they have decent offensive weapons. So is it the scheme? Is it the coaching that they're missing? Like, what exactly is missing?
I mean, if Jones is just not that good, and if the offensive line is subpar, then does it really matter how good the weapons can potentially be? And maybe the weapons are overrated. Look, I don't know. All I know is that it's been like this year after year after year. And the constant is Daniel Jones and a bad offensive line. The offensive line is not good.
Like, no, it's not good, but I guess what I'm trying to get to is this, is that when I look at those so-called weapons on paper, and I look at the offensive line and what, between money and draft picks, it should be, what Daniel Jones is, right? Sixth overall pick, and we're still kind of, you know, trying to figure out what he's capable of doing. And then I look at teams like the Rams, with Jared Goff or the Niners with Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, you mean to tell, like, I don't think that Jimmy Garoppolo is a great quarterback.
No, he's not.
I don't think Jared Goff is a great quarterback.
He's not. And they made those guys look better. Look, maybe you're right. Maybe Jason Garrett is just not a good offensive mind. I don't know.
Is Joe Judge a good coach? Do we know?
I thought so, but I don't know. Give me a few more weeks on Joe Judge. I'm not at the point where I'm going to start burying
I'll say this, though. I will say this, though. As a former player, I'm telling you right now, it's the same conversations that we had, you know, as Rangers fans had about John Tortorella, right? He's great, but only for a certain amount of time. Like, if a guy like Torts or one of the coach that coaches like Belichick.
Yeah, if you're not winning, I would think I don't mean act, but the way that Joe Judge handles himself and coaches probably wears thin very quickly.
Very quickly, but on top of that, in week one, to have him throw the challenge flag like that, if you're sitting here preaching to me every mistake I make, right, like the whole notion that more games are lost than won, like we can't afford to make mistakes, especially, you know, things we can control, that's a controllable thing. Like, knowing the rule book is controllable. So I'm preaching that. I'm making you run laps, coaches run laps, and all this other stuff. And then I'm throwing a challenge flag and losing a timeout.
Yeah. It was an awful look. It really was. The only thing I'll say in combating that is they weren't going to win that game anyway. You know, throwing the challenge flag at that moment really had very little impact. But you're right. It's a mindless play. It's a mindless situation that he put himself into right there.
No, I know. And I just see, like, the Giants fans that I'm buddies with, like, listening to Joe Judge after games and all that, because there's just so much losing, like, that's wearing thin on people. And if it's wearing thin on fans that aren't hearing it every single day in the building.
You're right. I'm not going to argue with you. Now, a couple things to do, and then we'll get to the calls. 800-919-3776. Right now is your chance to win a pair of tickets, see the Jets take on. We didn't do this, did we? The Jets-Patriots?
No, we did the pigskin payoff.
Okay, good. Because what I did was I separated so that the callers could get in, and then I could do this separately. I learned from my mistake, but I just wanted to make sure I didn't do it. All right, so now's your chance to win a pair of tickets, see the Jets take on the Patriots this Sunday, September 19th, MetLife Stadium. Be the first caller right now, 888-987-ESPN, brought to you by the New York Jets. Be at MetLife Stadium for the 2021 home opener when the Jets host the Patriots on Sunday. This Sunday, September 19th at 1 o'clock, get tickets at nyjets.com/tickets. And odds that you're hiring to free up time, obviously, not to lose more. With Indeed, you get the platform that delivers 4 times more hires than all other sites combined. According to Talent Nest, post a job and say you're hired. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Also at Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. You want to get to some of the calls quickly here?
Yeah, I mean, you sure you don't have any more reads you want to jam in here?
What do you want me to do? I have 27, you have 4. So what do you want me to do?
Calls. All calls to finish up the show.
Mike Maywood. Go ahead, Mikey. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, I don't know. You guys have been touching on it. Jason Garrett needs to step up. You talked about Jimmy Garoppolo. He has Shanahan. You talk about Goff over there. He got traded, but he still had McVay over there. It's the offensive coordinator. He's got to scheme it up better. We know the offensive line's bad. Do something to help them out. Where was Galladay? I didn't see him until garbage time in the fourth quarter. The guy didn't get a look. I think Jason Garrett needs to be looked at closely because all of these guys, even Darnell went to Carolina, he's got Brady from LSU that was with Burrow. They got offensive coordinators. Jason Garrett is not one right now.
You know what, Mike, I'll tell you, Mike, you know what would piss me off as a Giants fan too? And I think at the time it pissed us off a little bit too, is Daniel Jones only playing one preseason game.
Yes.
I mean, Dave, you're sitting there, Dave, like Giants fans are telling me right now that if you lose... First of all, they were home dog to Denver, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You made Teddy Bridgewater look like Pat Mahomes. Now, going into week two, you're on the brink of having a meaningless season if you lose. And you only play Daniel Jones in one preseason game? Isn't part of doing a good job as a franchise is knowing the temperature of your fan base?
Of course.
And you haven't been over 500 since 2017. You'd like to think that you got off to a good start.
Not one time.
Now Brian, I'm starting to get aggravated. I don't even like the Giants.
Exactly. So think of how I feel. Brian in East Northport, you're on 98.7, pal.
Hey, guys. Hey, listen. The common denominator is going to be Jason Garrett, right? Daniel Jones, Jesus, guys. Daniel Jones during his rookie year, 24 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. It was, and that was Darren Shermer. It's all about Jason Garrett. He's just not helping out his offensive line at all.
You know what's funny, too, is the symmetry between what happened last season and the baseball season. Right? Like, all the Yankees fans are going into the season, they're going to be the best team in the American League. All these expectations, because you kind of just wrote off the 60 games. Like, Gleyber Torres will bounce back. He can't be that bad.
Right.
Like, they won six games. The offense was the second worst in the NFL, but it was like, well, there was no OTAs, there was no preseason, like all these excuses.
Right, all these built-in excuses, and now you had it all. You had preseason, you didn't even use the guy in preseason, or a lot of your guys in preseason, and it's one game, so we'll see what they are tomorrow night. But if it's bad tomorrow night, oh, I'm going to be on fire on Friday. Like, I might be sleepless, and I'm going to be on fire on Friday. I might be dead after that, but Friday, look out.
If I don't die first with all the caffeine that I've consumed in the last 3 hours.
Let's go to Jay in Brooklyn quick. Jay, you're on 98.7.
How you doing, guys? Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, so I don't understand why the Giants are so trying to give Daniel Jones a chance. There's no reason why your starting quarterback should have 30 fumbles.
Well, Jay, what do you want to do? Jay, he was the sixth pick in the draft 2 years ago. What do you want to do at quarterback this year?
Honestly, I would have never traded back, and I would have drafted Justin Fields. And instead of basically do what Chicago did and had Justin Fields and Daniel Jones battle it out and see who would have
no,
won.
But it's ridiculous. Jay, they are doing what Chicago did with Mitch Trubisky. Is they're trying to figure out whether or not Daniel Jones can play. And the reason why they traded back is to give themselves the flexibility to make a move if they have to.
And they've done, in fairness, at least with the weapons, what the Jets should have done, is they've loaded this team up with weapons, and the Jets should have done that for Darnold. They didn't. And we'll see if Daniel Jones is able to compete at this level for the rest of the season. And if he's not, then I think he's going to be gone. And if he can, then you're excited.
And your defense has to step up tomorrow. They have to.
Of course. It all has to step up. You can't play the garbage game that you played in week one. All right, Santi, who by the way, is just very frustrated with me, and I feel the same with him. It's now your time to shine.
Today's three stars.
I don't know what your problem is. I'm very nice to you. Very kind.
It's NFC East hate is what it is.
I told him, check in with me at the end of the season. It'll all be peachy. Anyway.
Number three.
Star number three is going to go to our own returning Rick DiPietro. Not because he's returning, but because he's going to be a big TV star. He's out there, you know, shooting the breeze with big time people like Steve Levy, Sean McDonough. I'm kind of disappointed to hear that Torts wasn't there. But,
oh, he was a pain in the ass.
You know, I'm sure we'll hear plenty from Torts in the upcoming
hockey
season.
I'm going to have all sorts of great guests for the show.
This is going to be terrific.
By the way, congratulations on the breakfast bet win.
Thank you.
Make sure you hammer that out, okay?
Oh, I'll hammer it.
Number two.
And then, you know, Dave, who for some reason is mad at me. I don't know why. I'm not mad at him. The K-Show seems to be, though.
Let's hear from Dave Rothenberg.
Oh.
Why?
I mean, what's that all about?
Michael doesn't like me.
So much hate.
Yeah, Michael only has room in his heart for one person on this show, and we know who that one person is.
I see.
Number one.
And number one's just going to go to listen to the callers. I apologize for having the quick hook on you. From now on, you'll be on the phone as long as Dave Rothenberg wants you, and you'll never have to hear this again.
You know what
Sandy
is
slowly morphing into Dave.
Yeah, he's being me. Where you can't just take a little constructive criticism and change your way. Now you have to be completely belligerent and a jerk about it. You're a bad guy. A bad, bad guy. All right. It's Rule 76.
No excuses. Plague a champion. It's DPH or Rothenberg and
everybody.
98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.